Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
We are back. We are wheeling and dealing, hustling and muscling, styling and profiling.
Hanging and bagging.
Limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, sons of guns. And we are hustling along with this episode. Woo! Can you believe it? I can't. Well, I can because, you know, we plan this and stuff. And then we set up to record and we record and then we send it out to you, you beautiful babies. So, welcome everyone, the Narbos Crushed and Broomheads. You know where you are. Welcome everyone. Hello. So, let's see who else we got out there hustling and muscling. That's not even a thing. Let's throw it all the way over to the hustle from the prairies. I don't know. I didn't think this out very well.
Known as the hustling province.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely the hustling province. Hey, it's Arlo coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, where we are expected to get a gigantic blizzard starting tomorrow.
Ooh,
with nearly a foot of snow.
Ted, do you want to break the news to her? I mean, Alan, do you want to break the news to her about Ontario yet?
It's like, fucking me, like 14 or something?
Yeah, 14
and sunny. It's spring there already, I'm sure. I'm truthfully kind of looking forward to, like, an excuse to, like, not leave the house for a couple days.
Fair.
Yeah, and I don't have to work. And today I went and got a bunch of ingredients for kitchen projects that I've wanted to do, that I've wanted to try.
Are we making pea-meal bacon again?
I still have some bacon in my, some pea-meal bacon in my freezer. Okay, I have several projects. So the number one thing that I'm trying to do is to make a copycat dupe of White Castle sliders.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. There you go. Good
times. So I got the ingredients for that. I am planning on making a teriyaki salmon onigiri, which I've never tried to make before.
Fucking, like, polar opposites of culinary food there. Like, teriyaki salmon, whatever the fuck, and
Dirty White Castle.
White Castle shit burgers. Tasty.
Well, I want to make them for the freezer so that, like, we can just, like, steam a few sliders if we're feeling like we want junk, but we don't want to pay for junk. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I'm going to make some spanakopita for the freezer as well. Yeah.
Bang. As a teddy, too. As a goat, as a Boxing Day, what I usually make.
True. On Boxing Day, spanakopita, all right.
Also, we went to WrestleMania years ago, and my buddies still talk about the frozen White Castle burgers that we got at Walmart in Florida.
Yeah!
So they still lovingly talk about them.
Like, well, that's
they're like talking about like a trophy they won or something. They're well, like,
we
remember
used to
that?
Be able to find those in town. Like every once in a while you'd find them at a 7-Eleven. They'd have the frozen ones or whatever. And my husband, of course, grew up in the States, so he always had access to White Castle. I've only had it, you know, a handful of times when I've been in the States. But, you know, there's dupes online. So, you know, if I can have some in the freezer, then why not? I feel like it is a little bit like when your mom's like, "We have McDonald's at home," and it's like, that's not. It's not the same. But we'll see.
Myself and two buddies went to a White Castle for the first time when we went in 2007 when we were in Michigan, and we still have the collector's cup that were from Slider Fest 2007.
Oh, so good.
Well, hey, I can throw it out to Toronto, or just keep telling us who's in Ontario.
Wow. Hey everybody. I fucked up chocolate chip cookies last weekend, so.
Good job. Were they like Pillsbury, or did you make them from scratch?
I made the batter. Sarah a number of times was like, "Why are you doing it that way?" And then after they were
welcome to marriage, Alan.
Yeah, and then she was right.
Don't you judge me.
Like, look.
Don't you judge me.
They were
kitchen full of smoke.
Yeah, like they were still cookies. They were still fine. We ate all of them, but on the cookie scale, I would rate them as not good. So
that's not good on the cookie scale.
Yeah. So there you go. Yes, I am Alan, and I know we're a week and a half late to this, but in Canada, RIP in peace to Brian Mulroney, the Prime Minister of Canada throughout pretty much all of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High, in case you didn't know. So he dead.
Yeah.
Every time I pay
Kids Virgil. Of Degrassi, though. Kids of Degrassi, 1982, it still would have been
Trudeau.
Yeah.
The OG Trudeau.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's what's happening in Canada, everybody. Anyways, I'm in Toronto. Let's pass it down to Oakville and Timmy.
Yeah, Tim here. And if you listened to last week about my legs, I am still stuck in my chair because it is getting worse right now. So that's all I've got. Let's head back to the show.
Yeah.
So we're all here. Whoever's here. What do you think? What do you think, gang? Shall we jump in?
Let's do it.
Let's take a chance.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Trust me.
Yeah. Trust us. All right, everybody. So we open on a very confusing scene, which I was like, what the fuck is happening?
What is happening? Yeah.
I had to watch this several, like I just watched the opening several times.
So did I fast forward this?
And Pete, which I'll call Alex because he's Alex from the later series, and Caitlin, they're standing on top of a pedway, like a pedestrian walkway, which is pedway for short. It's not pedophile. Thank you very much. Pedophile bridge.
I don't think anybody's brain went there.
Get off, hey, kids, get off that bridge. they're wondering if a photographer from the newspaper is going to show up because Pete has called a photographer because there's a $25 prize for the picture of the week. So Caitlin's wearing roller skates and a hockey helmet and elbow and knee pads, and she has tinfoil stars all over, and she has a bunch of garbage bag streamers taped to her. So it's and also a sign that says across her front and back, Lisa the Great.
So this photographer's job is just to, like, someone calls and they're just like, "Hey, I've got a great photo for you," and then you just run out and take a picture.
The good old days, Arlo.
Is that?
Also,
probably had a wife at home and could own a house with that job.
Well, and also, if I'm a photographer and then all of a sudden I'm running out of the house, and let's just say my friend, roommate, wife, or whomever is like, "Oh, where are you heading?" "Oh, out with my camera for a gig." "Oh, who hired you?" 10-year-olds.
What? Hey, I don't got time. Yeah, I get the picture. There's a girl going down on skates.
Be a great picture.
Yeah. So yeah, like it's probably not. I got to go take pictures of children without their parents around. Sounds good. Two
Steven,
things.
It rings a little differently in 2024 than it did in 1982.
I want to run through a couple of really quick things. By the way, this is Pete Takes a Chance. aired early January 1983, the fourth episode of this run. It's the eighth of Kids of Degrassi Street, but the fourth of this run. So but more importantly, two things about this scene that blew me away. Number one, Lisa is wearing protective gear, and I was like, no way. 1982,
no chance, even a helmet on.
Yeah. But she's got all the protective gear on. Secondly, they've put a sign up on the top of the pedway that says world's greatest roller skate attempt. It used to say skateboard, but they changed it to roller skate. But I, but I was thinking more so. So did the kids climb to the top of the bridge and put this sign up? So
I did look to see where it was tied up. Did. So they must have gotten up like 8 to 10 feet in the air to tie these things up. Hanging precariously over the street below.
Also, the fact that skateboarder is crossed out and it's now roller skate leads me to believe that this is a stunt that Pete has pulled before. And this is not the first time that the photographer is even coming out to take a picture of one of this kid's like stunts.
Yeah.
So Pete assures her they'll win and that his ideas always work. He's
Pete's hat in my life as well.
He's wearing a sweet Canada flag toque.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, as much of a background character as Alex was in, like, Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High, he is in the forefront of a lot of this season. It's, like, the complete opposite. Pete is very much a headliner of this show.
I mean, I can see how he, you know, the way this kid acts, why they moved him to the background later. Just saying. Like, I'm amused by him, but I don't know if he's that great an actor.
I will say, like, him as a tiny child, like this, like, there's an earnestness about him that's really endearing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think maybe as he gets older, you sort of, like, lose that sort of obvious childhood naivete that, you know, comes with just being a child. But he is fairly charming in at least this episode because of his sort of
way of
his
thinking.
Innocence and his sort of earnestness, you know?
I also wonder if they named him Pete somewhat as a call out to P.T. Barnum,
because
he's like this little showman and...
Like a little grifter.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, he's got a fucking scam all the time trying to make that dollar bill, so I don't know if that's the case, but that's like, when I see this kid, I'm like, he's a little P.T. Barnum. So there you
go. Always hustling.
Yeah.
I actually was watching this episode with my husband, and I was like, you know, this was you when you were a kid, hey? And he was like, yep. Like, he was, like, selling Playboys out of his locker, like, every, like, Pokemon cards, like, every hustle that he could make, he was doing it. And, like, that's the kind of kid that Pete is.
And in future episodes, Alex turns into Ralph Wiggum, where you can see the exact moment Tessa Campanelli rips his heart in two. Yeah. So, yeah, sorry, buddy. So Caitlin wants to buy a wallet and keychain for her father. And we have the credits. We have the title, which is an old-timey vaudeville font.
Yep.
And this episode is drenched in, like, vaudevillian... Whatever. Like, the font, the music, the ragtime, like... Like the piano. I love it. It's Pete Scamming Rag.
I mentioned in the last episode that it seems like they try something different every episode. And absolutely for this one, particularly with the music, so many tubas, so many like trombones, playing solo. Yeah. All of a sudden, everything's all fucking goofy with the music in this one. It's pretty amazing.
Amazing.
Well, and this one is written by Amy Jo Cooper as well, but we aren't getting the voiceover this time. So she's not a one-trick pony, everybody.
Great.
Yeah. So here comes the photographer running, scrambling up because he's got to see what these kids are doing. And Caitlin takes off skating and Pete kind of gives her a little bit of a shove down the ramp. And the photographer's running up the ramp, clicking away. And whoever this kid is skating really fast.
Oh, yeah.
It was enough to go, like, that's really, like, me watching it going, that's really fast. Like,
well, do you think,
a stunt double. That's probably her.
Oh, I'm sure it was her. One quick little flip, and she's off the side of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy, it could have been a second death in 2 weeks.
She yells out for help. Yeah, R.I.P. Rabbit. She yells out for help because she can't stop, and Alex gives chase. Caitlin then slams into a lady who's carrying groceries, and they both fall over.
It's kooky Mrs. McKenzie.
Yeah, it's the kooky lady.
Oh, yeah, so it is.
With her potatoes.
Yeah.
And the potatoes go everywhere. It's a potato massacre.
She's like, that's okay, you crazy kids.
Yeah. She's like, you spilled my children because she's crazy. So Caitlin gives Alex the grouch. She goes, "You and your big ideas, Pete Riley."
Wah, wah, wah.
And like, I don't think they literally had that sound at this point, but I could see it because that's throughout this episode, no. Right? Like, wah, wah.
That was an added one, but yeah, they definitely could. It would have fit perfectly.
Yep.
This kind of made me laugh a little bit. The photographer runs up and keeps snapping pictures of Caitlin on the ground. I was like, you're bad at your job, I think.
Can you imagine? And of course, these are like, this is film, right? Like, this is not a digital camera. So he goes back and like develops all of these photos.
And the bumper, which is the part in between scenes, is a spinning carnival wheel, and it's piano music again. So we're going to see that spinning wheel several times. We just don't know what it is yet. We know it's a spinning wheel, but okay. So at Alex's house, he's reading a Green Lantern comic book. I've never read Green Lantern, but read a number of comics, but not that one. While his mother is working on a cabinet with a drill, she's like putting it together, taking it apart. I don't know. And Chuck's on the couch, old man Chuck, and Chuck's his older brother, but he's like 1,000 years old from his wise sage ways, which we'll see.
They look nothing alike.
They look absolutely nothing alike. Like
absolutely nothing. Like my husband was like, they're brothers.
Yeah, and like they both reference their dad, and I'm like, sure, both your dad.
But it does look like the mom.
Yeah, he looks like the mom. Martin, not so much. Like, maybe... Chuck. What's his name? Chuck.
Pete. Oh, sorry.
Pete and Chuck. Yeah, Pete looks like the mom. Chuck, not so much. And I'm just thinking, you know, dad's in jail.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was just thinking the same thing.
That was his first stint in jail. It's like pregnant. He's like, I was away for 3 years. What the
And then we learn how shitty the job of paperboy was.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God.
Hearing him describe this, and I'm like, that is what people did. And what a fucking horrific job, right? There's no, like, people don't deliver papers now, like kids, do they?
I mean, nobody gets the paper anymore.
Yeah.
We had a kid that did, like, the flyers.
Yeah, yeah.
I think kids might still do flyers in certain municipalities.
Yeah, because he.
But you don't pay. You don't have to pay for flyers. Like, there's no money exchange, right? So,
yeah, like I can't get over. We talked about it, though. Like, I mean, it's like no one's paying me. It comes out of my pay.
Yeah, like so this is this was a real job. This isn't some bullshit. If you've never heard this before, for you young listeners out there, but not only would you deliver the papers to everybody in your neighborhood, but then at the end of the month, people would have to pay up because at the time you didn't fucking pay online your subscription. So the child would have to go door to door making collections of the money. And so, yeah, sometimes people aren't home or you have to go back numerous times. In this case, Chuck is telling his mom that the family, he can see them peeking out the window, not wanting to come to the door and pay him. And if he doesn't get paid, it's going to come out of his pocket. The fucking newspaper company will be like, sorry, child, fuck you. Like, yeah, amazing. And later we're going to meet Moose. I mean, I would have had Chuck hire Moose to get that money. Just saying.
who came up with the system in the first place? Like, even if online isn't available, like, why don't you pay your subscription up front and then you get your paper?
But it's always how it was, right? Like, that's how it was.
I guess so, but like...
I remember the kid collecting from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a weird, weird thing, but it's the way it happened. And I'm sure people stiffed people. I don't imagine this is made up.
Yeah, we just accepted this. This was the way it was. It's like, sorry, kid. Yeah, the adults didn't pay you. Sorry.
Like the mom said.
What? I'm not paying for my paper in advance. Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
What did the mom say? There's always some... risk with a business or something.
Yeah.
Like, okay, learn a lesson.
Welcome to capitalism, kid.
Welcome to the real world.
Your body shall grind in the gears of the capitalist system, the machine. Better learn young. So yeah, they're discussing that. Was anybody a paper person, boy, girl, anything like that? Yeah, I was not.
I was not. I was a flyer person for a while. Not very long, mind you. But,
I had friends who delivered flyers, and, you know, if they had to go out of town or something, I would take over for, you know, one day. Fucking sucked. Shit job.
So we get a knock at the door. It's a ticket seller, Billy, but he's not named in this. He's called ticket seller. Billy always reminded me of a young Lando Calrissian. Like, even when I was a kid, I thought he looked like him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel that. Sure.
A little handsome guy. So he's at the door selling raffle tickets. The mom doesn't want to buy a ticket. And and says to Alex, throw your money away if you want to. It's like, okay.
I just but wonder, like, how much is a dollar away to these people? It was $1 to get what? I can't do that.
Well, look, money bags. Look.
Yeah, rich boy.
It's 80s bucks. So Alex sends Billy away, but tells him to come back later because he is going to work on the situation. He'll work on his mom. And he said, save me some good ones, which is okay. So there's a concerning, which is never really broached here. But we will find out, spoiler, that the father is probably in prison for gambling. But now Pete is showing real tendencies to gamble.
Yes.
And they're like, whatevs. It's all good.
So it could be gambling. I guess we'll find out.
It'll be. It is. Chuck and mom are still talking about money.
In terms of gambling, like what kind of crimes are we like illegal gambling? Is that like
we don't
a
really
prisonable
know.
Offense? Like how do you like was he running a card game? Like
I think he was just always in kind of money trouble and probably
yeah.
You know, like Pete's.
Well, we know he's not a thief, though, right?
Yeah, but like Pete's little money scams, like, you know, you treat them as somewhat innocent, but ultimately, like, Pete ripped off his friend in this, right? He learns his lesson and blah, 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 but he's ripping off his friend as a child. So you can imagine if they're comparing him to his dad, like, what real trouble he would have gotten into and trying to fucking scam his way out of it. I could see it. Yeah. Either that or he just killed a few people. Who knows? Like,
I think the gambling caused his dad to do something that got him into jail.
Yeah. Speaking of killing, by the way, Billy is played by Tyson Talbot, who also played Jason Cox in Degrassi Junior High. And
in real life played.
Yeah, in 2002, he was arrested in Toronto and charged with second-degree murder for the beating death of a restaurant patron. And he was eventually acquitted. So, I don't know. Guess he didn't do it.
Yeah, well, he did it. I was reading about it. He totally did it.
Yeah.
But I was reading a little bit about the case and what they did. And they brought this up in another future case for a cop who shot somebody on the transit. And it was two different transactions, I believe they called it. So they got in a fight outside this bar or restaurant or whatever. And he punched the guy and he fell back. And I think he hit his head. But then he went in and kicked them when he was down.
Uh-huh.
And instead of putting it in, I know it's gross, but instead of putting it in as one full action, like the punch and the kick, they separated and said, okay, well, he punched, that's one thing, and kicking's another, like, crime. I think that's the story.
Okay.
So, he got off with it. So anyways.
It's like in Con Air when Nicolas Cage got put in jail because his hands were considered deadly weapons because he was in a Navy SEAL or something. Remember that? He got put in jail because his hands
remember
were
that documentary,
weapons.
Con Air? Remember when Nick Cage was on a plane? That was good. I love that.
Okay, so $1 in 1983 money is $2.74 in 2024.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm not throwing that money away for fucking raffle tickets. Great. Get the hell out of here.
To win $100.
How much is we that? Got a rube. We got a rube here amongst
$275.
I'll sell you. Hey, Tim, I'm running a raffle. You want to send me an e-transfer?
So if it's $100.
Well, it should be $275.
Arlo just took out her green visor bib and thing and put it on her head.
It's like
clicking
so it
away
would be
at the calculator.
Like spending a little under $3 to win $273.62.
Yeah, not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
Mom.
it's a fucking school raffle. It's not like they're going to be like, the prize is $1 million. Like,
the prize is the Princess Margaret.
Yeah.
Princess Margaret.
I mean, presumably, you know, her husband's in jail. You know, she's a taxi driver.
She really just drives a taxi.
Like, money's pretty tight here. She has two children.
Well, we do get a sense in this episode that maybe they don't have a lot of disposable income.
Yeah.
Looks at the outside of the house.
Even that $3 is accounted for.
He spots a make money fast ad in the back of the comic book from a company called Fun Factory.
Oh. That's a sex toy company as well.
Ooh! Do they sell it at Industrial Love?
It's based in Germany.
It's fun. You will have the fun now. Okay, in the bathroom, we cut to... So Chuck is brushing his snags, and Alex shows him the ad, and Chuck says... Chuck is such an old man, and I love him. Yes. I'm here for this. Chuck goes... He says... looks like a racket to me. he's like an old man in a little boy's body. It's fantastic.
Yes.
What kind of kid uses a racket? Like, that's something from the 20s. So good. Going with the theme. So Alex believes it's a good deal, but Chuck reminds him of the time Alex signed up for a best Christmas decorations contest, then was sold decorations by the same guy who signed him up. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Which is an episode of Trailer Park Boys for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alex says it was different, though there was no contest, and Mom had to bail him out. Great.
Did you notice that the ad in the comic is right next to an ad for Sea Monkeys?
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah, that old classic. Loved it.
Oh, good job remembering that.
Yeah.
So Alex wants to borrow some cash, but Chuck says, are you crazy? I can't have you running around risking money like that. I love this. It's so good. Chuck figures Alex will end up like their father. I guess in jail. Yeah, yep. We don't really know that at this point.
The next step. Raffle tickets, jail.
So Chuck says to figure it out, and Chuck says he needs to figure it out and or get a job. In the school stairwell, Caitlin is complaining that someone put a sombrero on a poodle and it won $25. I'm like, I would vote for that.
That's fucking awesome.
You would lose. I would vote for a poodle and a sombrero every time. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Do you own a sombrero there, Ted?
Oh, it's one of those things I wish I did. Like, I'm looking for one.
I was thinking like Linda in a sombrero.
Yeah.
Like Instagram. Yeah,
I know who would like that picture.
Oh, there is a picture with Linda in a sombrero on my Instagram. So go look it up.
Yeah, Sarah.
I'm sure
it's
she has.
It was sent by a friend. It is a CGI one, but it looks very, very real. So it was around Cinco de Mayo that it was sent.
We're, for everyone listening, we recorded two episodes at a time, so this is the second episode. During our episode break, I said to Sarah, I mentioned more pictures of Linda on Instagram, and then she said, oh, when you go back, say hi for me. And then I stopped, and I was like, you mean to Linda, right? And she was like, yes, but also to the hello, to the Linda. People. So
I know, yeah.
So Sarah says hi, okay, also I... people.
Sarah says hi. I'm actually looking right in her eyes right now. She's in front of the fireplace. So Caitlin did get third prize, but you could see all you could see was the feet, her feet in the picture,
and also an arm in the sling.
Yes. Oh yeah, yes, she has an arm in the sling.
Clearly,
by the way.
She had got injured. Yes.
A poorly tied sling, which I know is very sloppy. Fair. They didn't do Red Cross recently. Whoever did
I
it.
Mean, this is 1983. They're not going to take you to a hospital. They're just like, eh.
They're lucky they have a sling.
Got a sling at home. You're lucky we don't chop it off in the shed because it's the 80s. Walk it off, kid. So Alex shows her the ad and tries to get her to invest $15. Caitlin's skeptical, and they head to class. So in class... Alex
is
still
it $15
bugging her about
that
money.
She has to invest? I thought it was 10.
It's 10 that she has to invest. That's what he says. She has 15. Right. She wants
he
to
has
save
five
it.
Over.
Yeah. So, but we're gonna find out later that it's not gonna be 15, but it's not gonna be 10 either. We'll.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
How they get you?
I will say though, like for a these are fairly young children, right? Like these aren't teenagers or even, you know, junior high age. Like these are elementary school children. So for like it's almost $30.
Mm-hmm. When I was a child, I did not have $15 on me. Like,
yeah, there was no chance I was going to be able to use my money without my parents letting me use my money.
Yeah,
yeah, like $10 is $27.42.
Yeah,
in today's money. And like, I remember I used to get like $20 from my grandma for my birthday, and it was just like $20. Like, yeah, it was like a lot of riches. So, yeah, to just ask for fucking $30 from an elementary kid, like, jeez.
I always equated $5, and still sometimes do, with one G.I. Joe. I was like, $5? Oh, I'm so buying Croc Master. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember getting $20 for my birthday, and it, at the time, you know, the Canadian dollar was stronger than the U.S. dollar, which is not the case anymore.
Oh, yeah. It was a nice
And my, my grandparents were American, so it ended up being like something like $22 or something like that. And I was able to buy Peaches and Cream Barbie for myself.
Ooh, wow.
And Peach she and was cream. So beautiful, and I loved her. And I know every girl my age who's listening is just like, Peaches and Cream Barbie. That's right.
Bitches.
I wanted Allie Viper. Guess who,
you never got her, only Arlo. So
it was, right. There was one.
Yeah.
Suck it, everyone else.
So in class, he's bugging her, and teacher calls her out to be quiet. And cut to Alex and Caitlin. They're on their way to the post office.
Oh,
to
before
go.
That, sorry.
Wait a minute.
Let's go back to this math class. This fucking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the teacher, I'm assuming, is what's his name? That's Linda Schuyler's friend, right? Is that
Mr.
the same?
Mr. Mackey.
Yeah. Mr. Mackey, who's looking cool as fuck in the class.
Ooh,
yeah. But this is. But this is how the math class works.
Dan Radich.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
Yeah, for real.
So the class is all sitting there staring forward. Mr. Mackey is up front, and it's math. So he's got numerous, like, equations meticulously written on the chalkboard. There's, like, 15 of them. Three columns, five per row. It's beautiful. And they're, like, you know, they're like larger numbers. Like, it's not crazy math, but it's math. Like, some of those things I'd have to do on a calculator, right? If I want to get the answer really fast. But the whole math class is just him going, okay, 273 minus 82. All right, 312. Like, there's no, there's no, like, here's how you do the subtraction, you know, all the whatever the fuck we learned to do it on paper. He's just reading formulas to the children as they sit there looking forward. It is a poorly constructed math class.
I kind of assumed they were like writing it down as he was talking or something. You know?
Still, they could see them on the board.
Like, it's like a pop quiz or something like that, and they're responsible for writing their own shit. I don't know.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I mean, it's not the last.
I'm assuming, like, Bruce Mackey and Linda Schuyler know how school works.
I think so.
There's a reason for it. They were both teachers, so.
I mean, his later on, he's going to do a lecture on Louis Riel, which is much better than how he taught math. So.
Hey, Mackey's not a math guy, okay?
Yeah.
He was a librarian, technically, but I'm sure he had teaching experience, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pronounced librarian.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. So we see the wheel spinning again. And so Alex is coming down the road, and his mom is coming down the road. Alex is coming down the road in the taxi. What the fuck? He's really on the hustle. His mom is driving a taxi and picks him up. He has this big box wrapped in brown post office paper and string. And she asks him what's in the box. And he says, jokes. He's very happy with himself.
The mom's driving a Beck taxi, which is a real taxi.
I was
going
to ask if it still existed.
Yes.
You'd be better than me.
Also, two amazing things with this scene. Number one, Pete the child gets in the front seat of the car, which you cannot do anymore with children that small. And number two, and I looked very hard at this, neither of them wearing a seatbelt during
the... I was going to say, he just put on a seatbelt. Yeah.
So, like, not only in the show they're not wearing seatbelts, but legitimately as they're filming this scene, they're like, no, those seatbelts will get in the way. Just don't bother with them.
They're legitimately driving.
Yeah, they're legitimately driving with no seatbelts on.
Yeah, yeah. This ain't no green screen shit. So mom wonders how much it's going to cost her this time, but he assures her that he borrowed it from Caitlin and he'll pay her back. I think
I love it how he says, it's okay. I borrowed it from Lisa.
I think I'd get in trouble if I said, yeah, I borrowed money from my friend. They'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, don't do that. $30 from my friend.
But it's what's okay, mom.
Ugh. So she wonders why he doesn't get a paper route like Chuck, responsible Chuck. And I always think Chuck is going to be like just the older brother, just like, ugh. But he's super responsible and sensible. I actually like that. It's kind of cool.
I mean, Chuck's the one who ultimately gives the Full House lecture in this episode.
Yes, he does.
So he, but Pete wants to make quick money, which it seems to be what got his dad in trouble. And mom drops Alex off or Pete at Caitlin's with the box.
I love how his mom's like, ooh, that's what your dad said. And it's just, that's it. She's just resigned to the child's fate. Like, she's like, what can I do as your mother to help with this situation? I guess nothing.
Mm-hmm. Just drop you off at the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Inside, they open it and there's a bunch of paper that they got to throw out. And at the bottom, there's a bunch of junk, which is kind of reminded me of the 80s, just like all just cheap shit. But you couldn't get it anywhere. You'd have to order it. Like, there was no, I don't know, when I was growing up, there's no dollar stores or anything like that. So
there wasn't. There was still joke shops, though.
All right, but joke shops, yeah.
Right, which don't really exist anymore.
Like Joe's Joke Emporium.
At least, I mean, there might be in larger cities. There definitely isn't any here. I remember in Winnipeg, Alan, I don't know if you remember Gooch's Bazaar.
I do not.
The Gooch.
The Gooch.
Gooch's Bazaar. It was right near Toad Hall Toys, right around the corner. Gooch's Bazaar. It was a joke shop.
I mean, I believe that there was a place.
And it carried exactly this kind of thing.
Yeah, in Osborne Village, they had a place called Jokes Unlimited.
Sure. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. You're right.
But
yeah,
you could just go to the It Store, San Francisco, and get the shit too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was. Store. I think that was a little bit later. Like, I think, you know, probably by 1985 or so, you had the It Store in like San Francisco that started carrying this type of thing. But like before that, it was like independent joke shops.
Again, right? Come visit
but
the Gooch.
We, like, when I was
it'll be bizarre.
Kid, like we loved it. Like this stuff was actually appealing. You know,
oh,
like
absolutely, 100%.
We're gonna see them go on to like sell this to children who are clamoring for it, and like that's not unrealistic at this time. I'm
calling it junk. I'm calling it junk, but I still had a little bit of excitement. Treasure trove.
Yeah, as an adult, you look at this box and you're like, "This is all crap." But to a child, you'd be like, "Fucking hey,
even to this day, when my kids get that crap from like birthday parties from the dollar store or like Party City, they love that stuff. I'm like, can I just throw it out?
Like it's just clutter now, but like at the time. And especially like the, you know, it's like the fantasy of like the joke, right? Like, you know, what are you're going to like give your, you know, your mom a can of like peanuts that just says like peanuts and you like can barely contain your like laughter and you're like, mom, do you want some peanuts? You know, and she's like, she's your mom. So she's like, oh, okay. There's a snake inside. Like it's, you know, it's the fantasy of the joke, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And there's joy buzzers there, one that doesn't work at first, but then he switches it and it works. Fake nose with glasses. There's big novelty glasses. Classic.
Of course there is.
Caitlin tries on some
like
googly
some
eyeballs.
Novelty glasses that have a fake nose. We do have them at Industrial Love, but they have like a penis nose.
I was just going to say, the nose has to be the shape of a penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always with the penis with
so
the
you
Industrial
can order
Love
that
crowd.
At industriallove.com.
Surprise, penis. Alex figures people will buy the stuff. They just need to tell them they need it, which is a classic, I think, P.T. Barnum type thing.
Yeah.
You just got to tell them. Yeah, you got to tell them. And Caitlin finds a fake vomit in the pile. And which is great, which brought me back. I never had it, but there was always stories about that stuff. Alex tries out a whoopee cushion. I gotta say, I was still pretty entertained because
it
lets
solid
rip
cushion.
A big loud fart, and I'm like, Yeah.
And the living room, the living room is completely full of newspaper. Like, they just thrown the paper all over the living room. It's great.
Mm-hmm. So outside, they're walking to school, and Alex is telling Caitlin how to sell. He says, tell him it's hours of fun, satisfaction guaranteed, all of which he learned from TV. And she says, where'd you learn all this? Alex has a little table set up at the bottom of the stairs, selling his stuff. Again, no teachers, no people around, no parents, no nothing, no, you know, no supervising. He's wearing a fake arrow through the head on his head. Great. Good. Caitlin, then, they're really trapping the students because Caitlin has a table at the top of the stairs as well. So any kid who walks by Alex's table and then has second thoughts, they can see Caitlin's table at the top. Kids are buying like crazy.
To these tables.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this, but I was, you know, like, if you're doing the math of all this stuff. So they bought this box of shit for $10 plus another.
Shit.
Yeah. Plus.
Let's call it $15 all
Yeah. Plus another like $3 for shipping and all this other bullshit is what they. So that's what their investment is, right? And they go to this school and they're selling. They have at least 50 items in that box. And they're selling them for either $1 or $2. And these kids are going fucking apeshit over this. There are kids running around the school with fucking joke crap all over them. And they're paying all this money. And so, first of all, I'm like, look, if you're trying to teach kids that this was a bad investment on Pete's part, not true at all. This was an excellent investment. Like, he's making 5 or 6 times his money back. But then when they get into the dollars and cents of it later, they basically give you the indication that collectively they've made $20, which, like, I don't get it. Like, the math doesn't add up.
No.
Well, it seems like the prices on these things are variable. Like, there's some that he sells for $2 or $1. There's some that are 50 cents. So maybe there's some that are also a nickel that we're just not seeing.
Yeah. Possibly. That's, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you guys ever do the hustle in school? Did you ever have stuff that you were selling?
No, I just had no money.
And that was it. I never did, but my friends of mine, what were they called? Like those sour balls that became a thing in the early 90s. Tear jerkers. Yeah. So like clearly one of the kids, like mums, went and bought like a tub of tear jerkers from Costco. So they came to school and sold them, and they did exactly this. Like, tear jerkers are fucking terrible, but they made them look cool. So it was like the thing to have them. And so they sold a shit ton until the principal stepped in and was like, you can't do this because eventually this will turn into drugs that you're selling at school. That's what they were told.
Also, do you have any drugs?
I'd love
to buy a single cigarette.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain what happened, but like, if you did not grow up in Winnipeg and did not go to St. Avila school, you would not understand. But when I was in grade one, there was this kid, and his relative of his died and left him his entire fishing lure collection. And he started like these little rubber like fish and lizards and snakes and things. And it was at the time when like jelly shoes and jelly bracelets were like super cool in the 80s, right? Mm. And he started selling them to kids for like 5 cents or something like that. And they became like the hottest commodity in the school.
Yes.
Everybody had them. And to this day, sometimes I go through boxes and I'll like find like a fucking little rubber fishing lure, because they just became like, they became things that people traded. Like, some of them were glittery, and the glittery ones were really like
it was like school, like, and there were smokes or like jail.
I
can't believe you still have them.
Yeah,
I can't believe that happened. These fucking little fish, like, and it was like the hottest thing ever. So this, to me, where like kids are just clamoring for this shit, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, well, if it becomes cool,
that's right.
Then kids just are gonna collect it and trade it and want it.
We used to do it with marbles, obviously, hockey cards, like, you know, whatever, right? Like,
anything.
Fucking anything you can trade.
Literally anything.
Little bartering assholes. It's great.
Yes. I remember when we were in high school, there was a group of kids trying to raise money for something where they were giving, they would use the money to buy gifts for kids for Christmas. It was a legit school race thing.
Drugs.
So, sure, let's call it drugs.
It is drugs. There you go.
So buddy and I said, we bet we can make more money than you. And they said, deal, bet taken. I don't know what we bet anymore. Maybe it was drugs. So all we did was we sat out in front of the cafeteria. Now, we were in grade 12, but maybe it was even OAC at the time. And we just harassed kids when they came out and said, give us your change. We know you didn't buy that lunch with real change. Give us what you had left over in your change. I think we bullied these kids out of their money. And we made $100 in a lunch hour.
Oh, my God.
What a lesson. Now, we shook down our school for $100.
We did go out and buy toys. But like at the time, we're like, we are really rocking this. Looking back now as a teacher's like, yeah, we were bullying kids.
I'll kill you if you don't give me your change. Yeah.
Well, you live on in the topic of many kids' therapy as they're into their 40s.
You bastards.
A little while later, Alex flags down Billy. He just says, hey, kid, to see if he has any more raffle tickets, because Pete or Alex's it's insatiable, his thirst for these raffle tickets.
And again, we're like, the lesson I think is supposed to be that Alex or Pete or whatever is a hustler and is always kind of trying to make an easy buck, but it's like, no, Pete is addicted to gambling. Like, that's the problem. Yeah. Here
he would have been fine if he didn't spend all of his money on the gambling card.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's going to make money by buying the tickets.
Yeah.
So Alex is at his table and Billy's going up the stairs and he has his little jacket slung over his shoulder like a real cool dude. I'm like, oh man, the kid is cool.
So he's awesome. Is cool.
There's some sort of controversy here where on the Degrassi-pedia,
yes.
They love seem it. To think that he's referred to as Kit.
Kit, yeah.
In this episode, whereas he's Billy in the very next episode. I question if maybe Alex calls him Kid.
Well, that's what I always thought he was saying.
And doesn't know him, and he's just like, hey, kid, like, you're the one.
I heard Kid.
Tickets. Like,
yeah, so, that's what I always heard.
So I was thinking it wasn't necessarily an inconsistency there. It's just that he doesn't know him yet. Yeah. You know?
Alex has this strange, like, big dick energy, like, and he's like, he kind of mad dogs this kid. He's like, hey, kid. And just like, what the fuck? It's like when somebody calls me buddy, I feel like going, don't call me buddy. I'm not your friend. Shut up. So, yeah. And we see a couple of more instances of this. So Alex buys 5 tickets, but he's going to get more later. He's like a little drug addict. He loves it. I mean, as much as a drug addict loves drugs, I guess. So Alex keeps his money in a sweet little Monte Cristo cigar box as well, which I noticed.
Of course, it's a cigar box. Kid's got the cigar box.
So there's a kid with a nose and the eye nose thing, the Groucho nose, and Billy. Future penis nose. They're at the drinking fountain, and we see come into the scene Edmonton Oilers fan / Rube Martin.
I love his fucking Edmonton Oilers sweater. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not even like it's a sweater and then the logo is just up on like, you know, one of the like, you know, up on the upper like chest side of the thing, like a little logo. But yeah, Edmonton Oilers fan, because that was a shit, right? Yep. 1982.
Yeah,
83.
This is Martin Schlegel, and we'll see him many times again, of course. Yeah. He's played by a guy named Jamie Summerfield, and I scoured the internet to see if I could find what this person might be doing now and came up completely empty-handed.
And,
this is here.
And like, Martin is dumb as shit. Like,
oh my God.
He's got to be the stupidest kid in this school.
I want to get out of school.
Yeah, like, number one, he's dumb. Number two, no personality whatsoever. Yeah.
So Billy asks him, he's like, hey, you want to see a picture of a naked lady? And Billy, and then Martin's like, yeah, I do. He's almost lost for words. Little horny bugger. So he looks through this kaleidoscope type tube. He's like, here, look in here. And we know where it's going. And he says, I can't see anything. Takes it away, and there's a big black ring around his eye. The kid with the glasses and Billy do a terrible job at laughing at him. I know they're kids, but it's extremely forced. And they're like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And I'm like, okay, fuck, settle down. So, and yeah, then we have a back to the shot of Alex's booming sales.
I just wanted to note, by the way, nowadays, so much easier for kids to see pictures of naked ladies. You just pull it up on your phone. So
almost too easy nowadays. Yeah. There's no hunt for it anymore.
Like if back in the...
You used to have to go into the woods and find
Yes.
Or find the less squirreliest of TV.
Yeah. So when they're like, yeah, this is like, I've got a special tube that has a naked lady in it. You'd buy that in 1983. Be like, fuck. Mm-hmm.
Some of those, Joe, do you remember, speaking of like ads in the back of comic books or whatever, the X-ray specs?
Oh yeah.
And there would be like, you could see like bras and panties and they'd be like, oh, look what you can see. Yeah. Yeah. The end of pre-internet days, everybody, when you had to seek this out. So.
Yeah. I had to be there.
You were more grateful when you found it.
Yeah.
Still haven't found it. So we see the spinning wheel back again, cutting to another scene, back to Alex's table, and he's wheeling and dealing. One kid is returning his possibly broken joy buzzer, and Martin wants to buy some fake vomit. So Alex's Pete is really hustling here because he will never give back the money. That's like, no matter what, he'll do any cut any deal, but the money will never go back to the person.
That's right. He knows the thing is worth less than the money that it was bought with.
Yeah. So he exchanges the buzzer for another one. He's like, that's what I'll do. And Martin is complaining about the price and he says, you don't have to buy it. It's like, the sales of it all.
Notice Pete also has added another arrow to his head.
Nice.
I think he's wearing two in each direction now.
I did not notice that. That's great.
He's wearing front and back and side to side now. I love it.
So Martin, the dumbest kid in school, says, I don't like school. I want to get out.
Just out of nowhere.
I was like, life is worth living.
Stupid kid. I don't like school. Yeah. Will vomit get me out of school?
He's like, what do you want?
I just found it really sad and pathetic. And he's just like, I hate school. And I'm like, this poor little child. Like,
I'm too stupid to figure out how to get out of here. Yeah. So like, it's the
I've been
Earl
here
Burroughs.
Since last week.
Like, the thing is, like, the reason it's like, I mean, I'm saying the reason it's funny, but it's really the reason it's sad is because it's not like it's this like mischievous little kid that's like, I just want to get out of school. He's like deadpanning it like he's this sad child that's like, I just don't like it here.
I don't know how to
get out. He's a sad child who just got tricked by other smarter children and doesn't understand why they were laughing at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't like school. Like,
I know.
Child. The ring around his eye still hasn't figured it out. Like, fuck.
Honestly, like, Martin, I have to write this down. Gotta go in the Hall of Fame next year. Like, so awesome.
We'll get a lot more of Martin too. Wait till he meets the pirates.
Oh, he's,
amazing. So like small and like he's a pretty scrawny kid. Like he's just so sympathetic to me. This poor little kid.
And he's an Oilers fan too. So he's like, sorry, kid. It's only going to get better.
Everyone was an Oilers fan, right? Because Gretzky is on the team.
And Pete, it like knows this kid is stupid. So he just says things to the kid to make him like everything Pete says, Martin, the dummy, believes. He's like, it's a good price. Yeah, if you don't like it, you can get your money back. But of course, at one point, Pete's like, you'll be the hit of the neighborhood with this. And Martin's like, I just want to get out of school.
1,000 laughs. I don't like school.
I just don't want to be here.
He figures, Pete tells him that he figures the $2 price is pretty good considering it will provide 1,000 laughs. So there you go, great. That's a good return on your investment.
This is also the first time I noticed where they had like goofy trombone in the background. It was like, wah, 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 wah. Yeah.
Yes. So we're at Martin's house, and Martin and I guess his sister, there's a little girl there, and they're at the supper table with Leon.
Again, Martin's there's some controversy brother. Here because this is his sister, but in the next episode, this actress will play a different character who is not his sister.
Oh, no.
So there's some question about who this person is, who they're meant to be.
We'll have to solve
why
it.
Is this happening?
And completely unnecessary for her to have been at the table because she has no lines. She just sits there looking
she
dumb.
She looks so lost, too.
Yeah.
Well, in the future, like, Martin will have additional sister.
Does.
Or sisters. So they might have just been setting the stage that there's additional children in the household or something, but I'm not sure.
And then we meet Moose.
And Moose / Leon / a young John Tenta won Earthquake from WWF. In the 80s. That's what he looks like. That's what he looked like. Canadian as well.
Maybe he was. Maybe he grew up to be John Tenta. That's fucking great.
Who's going to be on this doing an episode on Dark Side of the Ring about John Tenta this season?
It is. Coming up. Yeah, coming up. Also played Shark. His other gimmick.
So that's right. Asked if he is ready and ready for what, but we don't know. And Martin agrees. And I was going to say Earthquake. Leon Moose throws the vomit on the table. And the classic kid thing, Leon calls out to his mother, "Hey, Mom, Martin puked," which I'm sure if Courtney was here, she'd be like, "Oh, yeah, no, that is on the reg." Like, one child telling the other child just puked. And you're like, "Yeah, sure." And I'd say just goes into cleanup mode and doesn't even think about it. Dirty children. So disgusting. Mother, who's upstairs for some reason and not at the supper table, she comes in. No sells it, picks up the vomit, dusts underneath it, and then as she's walking away, lightly smacks Martin upside the head.
And who is the mom?
Without saying a word. What?
Do we recognize the mom?
Do we?
Well, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? It's kind of a cameo, this one, right?
Ooh. No, she's on a couple times, though, but yeah, just in this episode. I thought we saw her
in this episode, a bit of a cameo, no lines, but she will reappear fairly prominently in the Degrassi Junior High series.
And she may die.
Can you tell me who this is? Because I really don't know.
She plays Wheels' mom in Degrassi Junior High.
R.I.P.
Her name is Nancy Sinclair.
Yeah, so she got rid of all her kids.
Yes.
She's like, I'm going to kick all these kids out of it, and then adopt another one later. What happens?
Married that stud Wheels' dad. not Mike Nelson, the other guy.
Moose for a second?
Maybe he's a caring lover. Anyways. Yeah, what do you want to know about Moose?
Well, did all of you always think Moose was a boy?
I feel like the language in this episode is pretty clear. When they're talking about Martin's brother.
When they do say that, but...
I will say that Moose is feels a little androgynous. A little non-binary.
Even the voice sounds a little bit... Yeah,
I think he's a kid.
Well, you know, before
sure.
people hit puberty or whatever. Yeah, but, you know, the 80s haircuts don't help. The feathered 80s haircuts that were popular at that time are not.
I think his body just got really big and his voice didn't catch up.
Yeah, it just seems pretty ambiguous at times.
Yes, yes.
Voice pretty high. back to dumb old Martin sitting at the table. He looks forward and goes, "I'm not satisfied." He's the Eeyore of this Degrassi show.
I'm still in school.
By the way, On Moose's page on the Degrassipedia, under notes and trivia, it actually says, Moose is supposed to be a boy, but in all fairness, it's rather ambiguous in his first appearance. By his last, it's easier to tell, though. And then the second point is, the fact that he is supposed to be a boy and intends to punch a girl doesn't seem to bother anyone. yep.
Yeah, I saw that line, too. It's like, yeah. Which is worse?
Yeah.
Bully's gonna bully.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who. You don't cross Boos.
No. Nope.
Don't cross the Schlegels.
I feel like there's like maybe a certain age where, you know, hitting a girl is more frowned upon. Right? Like when you're 8 years old. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like, you know, your parents are like, well, you don't hit anybody.
Now, we'll talk about it later, but you really do get a sense the size of Moose compared to the size of Lisa when they do come into contact with each other.
I mean, they do those camera shots on purpose. Like, they're looking up at Moose and looking down at Lisa. Yeah.
To cut to Martin walking with purpose to Alex's house. Yeah, the vomit in hand.
He knows how to get there.
Yeah. He wants his money back because the joke didn't work. Alex gets smart and asks how it didn't, because he gets smart with him. He's like, how didn't it work? Did it walk away? Like, again, big dick in him.
Yeah,
I know. Yes.
I love that line. Did it walk away?
Like, this kid is bad. Like, he might be stupid, but he could still punch you. Martin's mom didn't think it was funny and didn't believe he was sick. Alex claims he didn't use it right and will show him how to use it after lunch. Closes the door right in his face.
Slams it right in his face.
Poor Martin. Yeah.
I would argue that Martin, it is user error on Martin's part. Yep. I mean, Pete did promise him that he would be satisfied. But
file this, not found.
Well, this item is not designed to get you out of school. Like, that's not what a joke is. He's like, the joke didn't work. It didn't get me out of school. It's like, well, that's not a joke. Like, that's something else.
Now, do we get a sense these kids are walking home for lunch for school, right? Like, it's pretty,
yeah.
It doesn't happen really too much anymore.
No, but that,
it does,
yeah.
Some kids.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that the school's literally around the corner from Degrassi Street,
yeah.
So.
It's close.
Yeah.
So we're in class, learn about Louis Riel.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, shout out.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The pen that I've got sitting right beside my computer now is the Métis Nation of Ontario, Early Learning and Childcare.
All right.
Wherever that came from, I don't know, but that's what the pen says.
Mm. Alex. And Alex throws the vomit on the floor in class. The teacher walks down, and Mr. Mackey pokes it with his pointer stick. And then Martin gets kicked out. He's like, get out of here. And he is told to take his vomit with him. We hear the teacher say, a joke is a joke, but that was disgusting.
Disgusting.
like he took a fucking dump on the floor. Like, it's fucking plastic vomit, dude.
It's like he pulled out his wiener and peed.
He's so mortified. And he's like, oh, it was the worst thing I ever saw.
Where's this kid going to? I guess he was kicked
out. I know,
out.
There's
you
no instruction. It's
home.
Not like go to the
I
office.
I think it's the office.
So when I may have gotten kicked out of class a few times.
Did you? Kel Surprise.
So it was funny because it actually took a while for it to become kind of like a real punishment. I guess other than not getting the education of that class when you would leave. But like, so sometimes the teacher would just kick you out and be like, get out. And it's like, okay. And that would be it. Like, they wouldn't tell the principal, you just have to leave the class and like, go somewhere in the school. I'd have to go to
maybe
the washroom.
Stayed in the hallway.
Yeah, I'd go to the washroom to hide from the vice principal who was roaming the hallways. But then if they got smart, they'd be like, you're getting kicked out and you have to go to the office. And so that's when you knew you were in real shit. But the kind of kicked out that this kid got, if he doesn't have to go to the office, it's like, there you go. You're, you know, except for the fact that it's an elementary school and that is probably the only classroom that they have. So that might be a problem.
It's like, you're free.
Yeah.
And he just walks straight out the door and walks into the door of the mill and just starts working, picks up a helmet and just starts shoveling coal. This is your future, kid.
Yeah. Yes, this is me now.
Yep.
So end of class, and there's one kid with big fake ears. So like these,
oh my God,
so they're scattered throughout, like all these crappy, like, joke toys are everywhere in school. Like every second kid has something weird, like, on them. Novelty toys. Alex figures it was a success because he got Martin kicked out of school.
Yeah, he's like, I did it.
Or kicked out.
He wanted to leave school. Now he's he's banished.
Sure.
Yeah.
A plus B equals C. So though Caitlin doesn't believe that's what he had in mind, Caitlin shows the Sagittarius keychain that she's getting for her father, and she'll get the wallet when Alex pays her. Alex finds Billy in the hall and buys 3 more tickets. Again, he's so thirsty. He's like so insatiable. He figures one of them is lucky. He just knows it. It's like, oh, God.
I mean,
I don't know, kid.
Spoiler alert, he's not wrong.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Mm-hmm. So, we got somebody coming. Oh, we got Moose sporting the Canadian tuxedo. Double denim, baby. Denim down bottom, denim up top. You better believe it. Moose is in the house. And
could
shows
you imagine
up
in today's day and age where you had a slightly overweight preteen walking and the show decides to put that tuba music behind them?
Yes.
Like the A&W bear.
Also, like, the Lisa is, for some reason, stays behind in the classroom. No teacher, no nothing. Like, you would not have that tiny child. No. And I mean, in this case, she's getting confronted by, like, a much larger but still child. But, like,
but still huge.
Yeah, but, and there's no one else in the school. And I'm like, this is a dangerous situation for a child. Like, yeah. So
100%.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they're harassing Lisa and not Pete as well. Like,
Martin probably forgot who he bought it from.
Yeah, that must be. I couldn't see exactly what Moose's shirt said, but I could see that it was like it had like one of those like appliques on it that was like the sparkle.
Oh, so nostalgic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so nostalgic for the 80s, like that sparkle, like vinyl transfer or whatever that a bunch of shirts had, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I would guess.
I was just going to say, it says truckin'. It doesn't say that, but that's the shirts you would get in the 80s. Like, it would just say a weird word.
My guess was that the shirt said, guns don't kill people, Moose kills people.
Probably like Moose Crossing.
Yeah.
From what I like, all I can make out on the shirt is like CHO, and I'm like, nacho.
I'm gonna take cho money.
So we also, I believe there's a sound effect of the floor squeaking as he walks across it, like honk honk honk. So he's shaking her down because his brother isn't satisfied and they want the $2 back tomorrow at the carnival, or you'll be getting a closer look at these. And he puts up his big ham fisty, big soft knuckles and
five finger shuffle.
Kate, well, that'd mean he's jerking off, which he's not.
You're going to get this. He does a big jack off.
She's like, you're going to jerk off.
He's like, I don't
what
get it.
Moose mad.
So I don't know if they did this on purpose, but what I appreciate is prior to this as well, Lisa showed off the keychain that she got for her father said that, you know, she'll get the rest when Pete pays him. And I like it because if you do the original math, Lisa spent $13, so she should have the $2. But she doesn't because she spent it on the keychain. So now she has no money to pay Moose. The second thing is, right before Moose confronts her, she throws some paper into the wastebasket that's overflowing, and it just hops off the top of the wastebasket on the floor, and she's like, well, fuck it. Like, yeah, it's great.
This is what the janitor gets paid for. Yeah, that's like that attitude. Fucking shit. Uh-huh. So cue the tuba as Moose walks off. Alex and Chuck, they're in their living room and there's a knock at the door. And I love these little tiny things of like growing up. And Chuck goes, your turn to get up and go get the door. Like, because as a kid, that's a big deal. Like, to do
that,
like,
is brothers right there.
Mundane, yeah. Stupid things. She says Moose is going to kill her. And if he doesn't get the money. Oh, yeah, because Alex at the door. And he doesn't care how Alex doesn't care how he feels. He's apparently going to let Caitlin die. So, again, Alex is like, whatever.
Like, he's not. He's taking
sweet lottery tickets.
Yeah, he's taken her money. He's not giving her her fucking cut of anything. And he doesn't give a shit that she's going to get her face pounded in. So,
yeah,
it's great.
Too bad.
Business is a tough world.
So Alex doesn't have the money anyway because he bought more tickets. So Alex talks about chances again, taking chances, mind you, with somebody else's money and life.
Well, he keeps calling this an investment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't think he really gets investments.
And Chuck and Alex argue about the use of money. Alex hasn't paid her back yet, of course. Old man Chuck then says, the wise sage that he is, said, Alex isn't doing he isn't investing. It's gambling.
Chuck is like, yeah, this is the Full House moment. Like,
he's the wise spirit.
Yeah, Chuck is all of a sudden just like, this is gambling, and mm-hmm. this is why Dad is in jail. Like, you're going to end up like him. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just Chuck being the smartest person in this whole house. Not an adult having a conversation.
No.
Like, mom's advice to the kids, you know, Chuck specifically is, well, if they don't pay you, that's the cost of doing business. Like, if adults don't pay for their newspaper. That's, and like, sitting kids in the front seat with no seatbelts. That's what she contributes. Yeah.
You got to remember, Chuck did run a store for half an hour. He knows
like
what the real world is like.
At the end, Pete's like, I'm trying to make money. And Chuck's like, Pete, would you rather make money or friends? You need to think about how other people feel.
Yes. Like,
the fuck is this kid?
That's
this...
where you needed the Full House music to come in.
By the way, this is a kid who's like banned from organized hockey because he's fighting too much.
Because he's fighting people.
Yeah.
Assaulted Sophie in her store.
Yeah.
Yes. So Chuck suggests that he get some empathy. He doesn't say empathy, but that's what he's talking about. But Alex just keeps repeating to himself that I'm lucky. It's lucky. Like, he's really devolving into this addiction.
He needs, needs help. This is the part where, like, Joey Jeremiah comes on the screen and is like, if you've got a problem with gambling, kids, like, here's a fucking hotline to call. Seriously.
So, finally, we see the big wheel reveal, and we're at the big raffle draw. Billy's still selling tickets out front of the draw. Yeah. And Alex wants his money back for the tickets. He goes to Billy, and because he's not satisfied, that phrase keeps coming up. But Billy isn't taking any returns, and he gives no guarantees. So then Alex comes up with a plan and posts up next to Billy and starts selling the winning tickets. So he's like, okay, got him. Also, note, a kid passes by in a full Adidas red tracksuit, and it reminded me of Jason Sudeikis from What's Up With That.
Yes.
Saturday Night Live.
I was like, baby,
ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. Yeah.
Fantastic.
This is a smart play on Pete's behalf. He's saying, you want to buy them back? Fine, I'll fucking sell them for 75.
I'll undersell you.
Bitch.
He can think on his feet. He's how much is he selling them for? A ticket? A dollar?
75 cents.
Yeah, but so, how much is Billy selling them for?
$1. So Pete's
he's doing the undercut.
He's undercutting them.
I mean, he is taking a loss, right? He's taking a loss of 25 cents on every ticket that he bought, but still.
But he's taking a gain in friendship.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, baby.
Making a friendship profit.
Yes.
And here we go. Local Rube again. Martin stops by and gets some tickets from Alex. But maybe he's not such a Rube.
Really we'll loves the Oilers because he's in the same shirt as yesterday. So.
Kids don't. They might sweat, but those stink. So it's probably just dirty.
Sticky.
So. Caitlin passes by Moose and Martin, and they're looking for the money. Caitlin says there's a little problem, but Moose says, and he puts his big jambone ham fist in her face and says, there's going to be a big problem.
It's so
good. Alex,
like he's, I mean, it's, I think it's not comedy, but you know, it's supposed to be like lighthearted because he's saying such goofy things, but it's like this large child is threatening to beat the fuck out of tiny little Lisa. Like that's what's happening here. And no one cares. At the carnival, again, where there's adults are like, whatever. Like,
let them figure it out, Alan.
Yeah.
So Alex is
in between. I love Lisa's little Nirvana flannel there.
Yes.
Like a resurgence in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. Mid to late 90s, maybe.
Yeah. It'd be, well, these kids would be 8 years before Nirvana's Nevermind would come out. Oh, actually, that's stealing from another podcast.
But like her little flannel, very specifically. Like, I'm pretty sure my high school boyfriend had like an identical flannel to that.
Now, Arlo, did your high school boyfriend have any rabbits?
No. He didn't.
Quidditch. I thought maybe we tie it back. You had a lot of rabbits.
Nope. No. No, he didn't have any pets, actually. No, he did. He had a dog named Max.
Ooh, there you go. Shout out Max's owner.
Did Max murder any rabbits?
I'm sure Max is long gone by now, unfortunately.
Nope. Yeah. Max is a 40-year-old dog. That's correct.
With a taste for rabbits.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So Alex jumps in between them and hands the money over, gives him the $2. And then he gives a big bag of change to Caitlin, saying that's the money he owes her. I'm like, $15 in change. I guess as a kid, it's like money's money, but.
Well, also, he gives her $15 back. So, I mean, I guess her money is back in her hands, but it's like she did all the fucking work with him and didn't get a penny out of it. Like,
that's true. She's like,
yeah.
No interest.
Yeah.
And he knows about interest, but he's not giving her any.
Of course.
And here comes the big draw. And the thing I like, one of the things I like about these shows is the credits start rolling, like in kind of the climax of the show. The big wheel is spinning that we've seen the whole episode, and the winner is the Rube Martin.
Martin, who bought the ticket for 75 cents off of Pete.
Yes.
Also, you hear narration from Pete and Lisa being like, oh no, I can't. Oh, holy shit. Like, I can't believe he won. And then I believe that Pete says to Lisa, wouldn't it be weird if, like, I dated this chick in high school and then she dumped me for somebody and then she eventually fucked your fiance? That would be crazy.
It's not like Toronto's that big. Right?
You know, I really do appreciate this about this show. And, like, it's like the punchline of the episode is a throwaway moment. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the credits have already run. It's like an afterthought that Martin wins. And da, da, da. It's like, it's not this moment that's like, wah, wah, Martin won after all. And Pete's like, oh, no. Like, it's, you know, like the entire punchline of the entire episode is such an afterthought. And I really appreciate that.
It's the journey.
I mean, it's not an afterthought, I guess, in the, you know, the minds of the creators. I just mean in the storytelling.
Yeah.
That's not the important part. The important part was the reparation of their friendship.
It's just a funny thing that he happens to win. Like, as soon as he bought that ticket, I was like, that motherfucker's winning
obviously.
The draw.
completely.
You're standing up in your living room pointing at the TV going, he's going to win.
He's going to win.
Sarah's
everybody.
Like, sit down.
I'm like, Sarah, come here. Guess what? This little fucker is going to win the draw.
Hurry.
The other part that made me kind of chuckle was once the money is transacted back to Moose and to Martin, like they get their $2, Moose is like, it was a pleasure doing business with you.
Yes.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yep. And that's it. He says, the last thing he says is, Alex Pete says, I came through for you, didn't I? And that's the last line and end.
It's like, technically, no, like you didn't.
I didn't make it.
Not really.
You lent me money and I gave you back the money I owed you. Like, what did you do for me, Pete? Mm-hmm. I almost got my ass kicked. I was stressed out over money. I don't know if I can get my dad a fucking present. And I did all this work for you for nothing. But yeah, Pete, you came through.
Thanks, friend.
Mm, yeah, Alex Yanku, you dick bag.
You bag of dicks.
No, we love him.
So harsh.
I think we said it before, but I read that on the Degrassi Wiki was as well that he, and I'm sure this is mentioned probably years ago now, that he didn't show up for School's Out because they asked him to come back, but he didn't have any lines. So then he supposedly, according to the internet, he distanced himself from the show.
Ah.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that one. He never had lines barely in the actual show, let's be honest.
I think he was... I thought it was too bad, because I thought he had the lineage. Like, he had kids in the grassy street, and I don't know, I thought he was a... It was a very realistic character. I liked it. Like, I wasn't a big fan of him, but because he was kind of annoying, but he was meant to be that. Like, that's what he played. Like, he did his job well.
Oh, agreed.
Like, ugh. Always, like, kind of on the hustle, but always talking and just like
Okay, shut
it
up
is interesting
now.
How they really did. Like, I don't know why. I've read why, but I don't understand why they didn't keep their names a little bit, because they really are kind of the same characters, but maybe it allows them to different backgrounds. Because he's still the same sort of guy that wants to make money all the time in Degrassi Junior High.
I mean, she gave them the choice. When they moved to the other show, she was like, do you want to carry on with your characters and names or new ones? And apparently the children decided to go with
I guess maybe that's new characters. Right. Maybe right.
And then she was like, well, I'm fucking writing you the same anyways, so it doesn't matter.
I don't have that many ideas. Fine, new
names. So, thoughts on that beautiful baby? Well, that's my thought. I thought it was great.
Magnificent. It was a magnificent. Banger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this one.
I mean, just again, like things that really speak through to my childhood, you know, and I don't know. I'm just loving it. I'm dreading that this is going to end.
If you lived in the 80s as we did, like this isn't sensationalized, really. This is kind of what went on.
Yeah.
It's not people sent away for things in the mail and tried to grift money out of it. And, you know, you might have got beat up by the bigger brother.
And it was in comic books. I still have my old Archie comics. They have all kinds of ads like that.
Yeah.
These are real.
Yeah. It's such an honest to real life truth show. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a time capsule, right? And
yeah,
it really is. It really is.
So no, and more so than Degrassi Junior High. Like Degrassi Junior High, you know, was pretty realistic for sure, but not to the level of this.
Well, it dealt with some more heavier topics that maybe weren't really always true to the age group, but this is just stuff that happened to these kids.
Yeah.
I was reading some articles and like it's hard to believe now, but when Degrassi Junior High debuted, fans of Kids of Degrassi felt betrayed.
Yeah.
By how slick.
I know. Well, I think too how they changed the names and like all these characters
close to
have just all of a sudden are different.
I mean, just as we feel kind of betrayed by, you know, Next Generation and how slick it is, there was that feeling of betrayal as well when this series transitioned into Junior High. So, you know, I guess the lesson is just that history repeats itself and we're never satisfied with anything that we're given.
I remember when it was first asked on this podcast years ago, I said, Alan had asked the classic question of, oh, so what are your memories of Degrassi? And I said, gritty. But what I was really talking about was Kids of Degrassi Street, because it just had that camera grit to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like that very realistic, you go, yeah, I remember this. I was in like situations like that where there was no parents around. You were just doing your own thing. And like $2. Drama of $2. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, at the time, it's more like $5, right? So,
yeah. Richie Rich.
Yeah, you kids would kill someone for $5 these days. So,
sure.
Yeah, $2.
Yeah, I really want Alley Viper, a G.I. Joe. I never had him, though. He had the big shield. He was orange and blue. Oh,
it was
so
always
cool.
Nice getting that character that had the accessories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this guy was great. $5. Well, in tax. All right, so that was pretty good.
By the way, back in the day, $5 and tax, which would have been your provincial sales tax, until the early 90s when they added the GST. And with that in mind, again, RIP in peace, Brian Mulroney. So
we'll always remember him, because we'll be paying the GST for the rest of our natural
life. Always cost us more.
Yep.
All right, let's go around and see who is here. What kids are on this street? Let's go way up the street out to the prairies. Who could that be? Out to the penis nose capital of Canada.
It is the penis nose capital of Canada. Also, chlamydia capital of Canada. I think I've mentioned that before.
Nice. Ooh, congratulations.
Are the two correlated? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Causation?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. You can follow me on Instagram at @ARLOESCOTT and off to Toronto.
We got to have some disease that's better here than ever. I mean, measles is making a comeback, so.
Yes, yeah. In the York region.
You had SARS at that time. No one else had it.
Yeah, so, you know, skip those shots, everybody. It's fine.
What do vaccines do?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Anyways, hi, I'm Alan, and Slip with Five Eyes, wherever you can find people on social media. For this show, though, Narbos and Broomheads, go to the Narbos and Broomheads Facebook page. We haven't had any porn posts in a few weeks, so that's good. Looks like we've cleaned that up, or maybe for some of you, you're disappointed. I don't know. On our Instagram, we are at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast, and we do not post any porn on there. So if you just want pictures of, you know, Degrassi children instead, that's what you're going to get. And what else do we do? I don't remember. Oh, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. So, yeah. And again, if you want to write about your, you know, being bullied for money, tell us about it, please. Anyways, over to you, Tim.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready to enjoy my 14 degree in sun tomorrow. So,
Shut up. Sorry, but I might pull out the shorts
tomorrow if I can get my legs moving.
I'm looking forward to it. Shut up.
You can follow me at FollyT on Instagram. Teddy, take us home.
Hey, everybody. Back again. Hello. So let's wrap this beautiful, beautiful baby up with a swaddling blanket. So we've had a laugh and a half, or a laugh and a half, and we hope to see you next time on the Narbos and Broomheads show.
Boop, 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 boop.
Whoop, baby.
I just said I'm going to get my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut. Just to get the car my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I went crazy at the school. Yeah,